Welcome to Create the Movement podcast. Create the Movement is an online marketing team focused on collaborating with law firms and businesses nationwide. Visit us at createthemovement.com to discover how we can help you create a movement.
All right, welcome back to Create the Movement podcast. This is Brad Post, and I'm excited to be sitting with a friend of mine, Isabella Johnston. Isabella, how are you doing today?
Fine, Brad. How are you?
Good, good. So Isabella and I've been connected for, I'd say, over a year, several years now. And Isabella has actually brought quite a bit of value to our company. We met because I think we were both part of 1 Million Cups. And Isabella, you're in Orlando, correct?
Yes.
And she is part of Pivot Business Consulting. And one of the main things that she's really helped us with is bringing on interns. She has an interesting, amazing approach to getting interns for a company. But Isabella, I wanted to just kind of share a little bit about what you do with Pivot Business Consulting.
Okay, well, thank you for bringing me on your show and also for the opportunity to meet your listeners. I really appreciate this. So what Pivot does, I'm the owner and the founder, and I work with entrepreneurs to help them with their people and their process problems. I work to bring innovative solutions that help them pivot so that they will be growing. And I'm trying to keep it like really, really simple so that that's even still what one of my coaches had said, keep it so simple that it's not like industry specific language, just keep it really simple.
Well, tell us a little bit about your history and how you kind of got started in this.
Well, originally, I was an English teacher, and I taught in the public school system. I went back to school and picked up an MBA, and I started consulting by writing business plans on the side and working with a lot of entrepreneurs that were solopreneurs, helping them to set up their offices by getting their systems documented, helping them with find out what's the latest innovative technology. And that was honestly 12 years ago, 15 years ago. And working with them to just get order and structure into their workplace. So once I did that, I have a blended background. It's a blend of entrepreneurs working with them. Also, I have a certificate in nonprofit management, aside from the MBA. And there I've worked to set up nonprofits, everything from that 501c3 application all the way up to reorganizing them or helping them if it was with grants or a fundraising strategy. The last area, because I have that education background, I have a blended background that's of higher ed and the public school sector. That is a combined of 20 years of experience there. And that's where that whole entrepreneurship, once I left the public school system, I went into working as an adjunct professor at many of the colleges that we have here in Central Florida. I learned when I started my own official, you know, business 4 years ago with a different name, I started pulling in intern talent, and I discovered I was really good at mentoring them, not in necessarily all of their industry or whatever discipline that they were going to, but just helping them to get a foundation of skills in their area. And I would bring experts in, like I'm not an attorney, so I can't necessarily mentor in that area of law, and I'm not an accountant, but I know things in those areas because I've worked with those individuals and I've worked with them in their businesses helping to implement things. So I've learned a lot about law. I learned a lot about accounting, forecasting, sales, just because I've worked with different industries. So it was real estate agents that I would work with, a tax consultant, lawyers, set up a lot of lawyers' offices, worked with insurance companies and accountants. And it was through that process I learned a lot about all of those areas, and I would pull interns in to help in my own business. And then people were asking me, hey, could you help me get some interns for whatever their business was? And that's where 4 years ago, I started working with a lot of startups to help them What they always struggle with is talent and money. Those are the two things they need.
Right.
Most businesses need talent and money, and they're kind of intertwined together. So I can build an intern program for a business where the intern certainly benefits. They leave with a firm foundation of skills, but the business, I come from it as an organizational development, a process side of it, and look to see where are their gaps, and then help them to bridge those gaps with some innovative solutions by using interns in a way that they typically don't think.
That's great. Can you tell us a little bit about kind of your approach to getting interns? I know you said you worked at a lot of the colleges there locally, and you have a pretty good relationship at getting other universities kind of connected, and you've done a great job at getting us great qualified applicants.
Oh, thank you. Well, what I certainly am connected here in my own town, but I can pull from schools anywhere across the country. There's actually over 5,000 schools nationally, whether it's a four-year or two-year school, and some of those are trade schools also. So I can pull from any of those. I'm set up with over 400 schools right now, and it's a process. You have to keep, when somebody asks for students from a particular school, I have to navigate through those channels. That's what I do for my clients. So they don't have to. That's something that they don't want to have to mess with. So I'll navigate through those channels for them. I work with a client to create a job description. I design an assessment so that way the employer is going to be able to see what the student can really do. And the assessment is set up to look at five skills that are base skills: research, writing, creativity for problem solving, time management, because they have a clock that ticks when they start the assessment and they've got to get it back relatively quickly. And then there's verbal skills. And the assessment is what I send over to an employer, or for me, a client, and they're going to be able to see, is this somebody that they want to work with? Because there's a lot of factors, and somebody can look great on a piece of paper and they can look great when they're in the room with you, but we have biases when we start talking with people, and we'll think that this could be a good candidate because people will tell us what we want to hear, and that may not be because they want the job. They may not be the best fit. So by delaying that process of meeting them in person, we can actually, and you look at the assessment, you'll get a better idea if this is the person that would be a good match for you skill set wise. And then you're able to see how they stacked up in those five areas of their research skills, their writing skills, their how they handle time management, and how they can creatively solve a problem. When they meet with you in person, they're able to tell you, oh, this is what I did. This is how I researched this. These are the sources that I found, and be able to give a better indication if that's going to be a person you want to work with. On a scale of 1 to 10, I look at them as everybody's a good candidate in my eyes from the beginning. If they're an international student, they may have some language barrier problems, or culture, could be even culture rather. So that's a consideration, and all of these are factors that a business owner needs to take in and weigh to determine if this is going to be somebody that they have the time, honestly, the patience sometimes, but the desire to work with this person. Because while some people will view those as a negative side of working with somebody, if they're international, that's not. If they take this assessment and they can give it back in the time frame that they're asked, that's usually a pretty good indicator. They've got more of that entrepreneurial spirit, and they're going to be pretty coachable. And I'm not expecting them, when I work with my clients, I tell them, don't expect them to be experts, because what I'm asking them to do is learn an industry, learn your company, learn what it is that you sell really quickly. So that's the place where we start.
Awesome. Well, I know you've done a great job with us, and I really like the process that you kind of take them through, and it helps kind of vet some of the people who aren't too serious, about being an intern, because it is a process. They go through and do the assessment and interview and that type of stuff. So,
I've got the package ready to send to you today, Brad. So okay. I have an onboarding package for my clients that can help them to bring that person into their company and into their culture more quickly. It's something that can be customized to that particular business's need. And then I also have a performance plan for the employer so that they can make sure that they're aligning their needs with what the goals are of the student. And then that helps them again to have a more qualified or more quality experience, because a lot of employers will say that they don't have time to manage them, or they don't think that they can give them the work. But it starts with identifying what are those needs inside of the company first. And so that's where I work with a client to say, okay, what do you think your needs are? And then we have more discussion, and maybe they need different types of students. So maybe you might need, if it was you, you might need a video production student is what you're telling me, but you might also need somebody that can do WordPress. Right. And then you might also say, oh my goodness, I need to have somebody that can just focus on the analytics of what the social feed is.
Right, right. Well, what would you say, Isabel, is one thing that's really exciting to you in your business right now?
Oh, the most exciting thing is that this whole end-to-end system, meaning an end-to-end, that's kind of industry speak, but the end-to-end means it goes from recruiting to the exit interview and everything in between, is a process I'm having developed into a software, and it's called Intern Pursuit, and we have a game with the same name to help pull students into the software to sign up. And think of it like match.com, where I'm going to match an employer, what their needs are, with a student with what they say they're looking for. And then through that assessment and that interview process, we're able to really give them a better fit.
That's awesome.
Software, I think, is something I'm really, really excited about.
Yeah, keep us posted on that. What would you say is the best business advice that you've ever received?
So you sent me that as a question, and I went, ooh, yep. If I was to pick just one piece right. of advice, that was really hard. Yeah. I came up with, I have like five sources, and they're all short. So if you can indulge me, I can kind of go through them relatively quickly. Yeah. The first one comes from the Bible. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 18, where it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." That one, hands down, because I think that I don't know how anybody can be an entrepreneur without praying, honestly, because right. you have to be seeking wisdom and guidance from somebody. And hopefully it's whoever it is that you pray to. For me, it's God. And I'll say, oh, goodness, please help me with this, whatever this right. is. So I think the Bible's the first source. The second one is a friend of mine, and he works in sales and financial strategies. He said, I should be spending 60% of my time prospecting new leads and continuing to nurture and cultivate client relationships. And I think that's huge, because many times we get caught up in the business itself and we forget there's this balance that we have to keep in place, because you're not going to have new clients, don't always come knocking on your door quickly like how we want. It does require that we build a relationship with them. And so that prospecting 60% was key. It changed everything. The third one is when I was meeting with somebody yesterday, she said, keep your value proposition at fifth grade level, meaning don't have any industry speak in there. Don't make it too long. Keep it super, super simple. So while I might call people my talent, that doesn't mean that everybody understands what talent is, but a fifth grader would understand what people are. So I went, okay, I like that, because I do like to keep things, honestly, very, very simple, like 5-year-old simple, really. The fourth one is what I say is what can I take off of your shoulders? Because I think that's huge when somebody says, what can I take off of your shoulders? It means that they're there to help support and partner with you in some way. And then there's a last gentleman, his name is Tim Rickey. He has a book out there too. But he has three things. He says, what more can I do for you? What less can I do for you? And what can I change for you? All of those pieces of advice are huge.
I like that. Writing that down.
Yeah, it's all about the customer experience, right?
Yep.
And putting ourselves in the shoes of our customer and making sure that it's that they feel valued and that it's a real relationship, not just a one-off.
Right. Right. Well, it kind of leads into the next question is what books do you recommend to our listeners?
Well, the book, there's a condensed version, but I always ask people that are working with me to read E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber, because that's all about processes and systems. Yeah. And how that's so important, because even if it's somebody as a solopreneur, if you don't have your process documented step-by-step, picking up the mail, for example, what time should the mail be picked up? Do you need a key to pick it up? Are you going to have ID? All of these things, because if you bring somebody in at any point in time and you ask them to do something for you, if you have a documented system, then it makes it so much faster because it starts creating a training program, essentially. Good to Great. I think that is invaluable. Jim Collins' book is really important because it's all about that treating people with respect and building a strong team and recognizing strengths and challenges and being able to be open and coachable. Right. Yeah. Good to Great is between having systems and really, I follow a servant leadership model. I think that really brings people, makes them more likely to invest with you as employees and even your clients. I think that that one is. There's a third book, and I've just been given this book, and I'm starting to read it. And this one is more of something for people that are on the other side that are looking for jobs, specifically students. This Is Who We Hire, and it's by Alex Grodendijk. And Alex is somebody that he and I have been partnering up together. He has this book. It's in UCF, which is the second largest university in the United States. It is required reading for over 8,000 students there in the business school, and now it's moved into the psychology program too. Yeah. It really helps students to identify how they need to prepare themselves, not just even their brand, their personal brand, but how they need to prepare themselves to be able to get a job and how the other side, how we as employers look at them. So Alex is, he's mentioned my company in his book, but he's also invited me to help write the next version, the next edition, and with the internship program section. So I think that's huge, but I'm reading his book and I'm really finding it very, very insightful. And it's a good read for the employer side, but it's also definitely a good read for those that are looking for employment.
That's awesome. That's awesome. We talked a little bit about this before the show, but what are some of the podcasts that you would recommend to our listeners?
Well, I like the ones that have to deal with marketing and social, which is a lot of what you do also. And so I've been reading, well, listening to those, but also reading some of their books too, because I was an English major. So I like words, but right. The other side of it, the listening makes it so much easier than, watching a video, but I listen to TED Talks. Okay. So I can stay up to date on whatever the latest trends are, or, innovations that are out there. They're also very encouraging and inspiring. I listened to a gentleman, his name is Mike Diller. He has something that's set up to help you to make your services and your website be more of an online store. He has a system that helps people that if they don't know how to do it, it will walk them through a step-by-step process. So I've been listening to a lot of his information. Alan Weiss, he is an organizational development consultant too, which means, like a business doctor, comes and looks at a business, looks to see where are the gaps, like myself. His is really insightful. He works like a 20-hour work week, but his value of what he brings to his clients is huge. He can charge $5,000 an hour. And I'm amazed at that. And he teaches out of Harvard. He's taught at the best top tier schools there are. And then I signed up for yours and I've listened to a couple of yours this morning and I found them really interesting because they have that whole entrepreneurial spin and they're very real, where people are sharing what that journey has been like, the ups, the downs, the openness and willingness to be sharing about failing, and that it's not a bad thing. And if we look at things that are in our social feed, we'll see how many times Einstein failed, you know, the history of like people who have failed, but they don't give up.
Right.
And for me, you know, I'll watch it. I teach Sunday school. I teach 3-year-olds, but I also worked in the baby room. And when we watch children, if they fall, they get back up and they aren't like looking around to see, did anybody see me? So I think that they're a really good example. I know that's not the podcast thing, but the other one is EMIT. I listened to that one also.
Okay. Awesome. Well, Isabella, thank you so much for being on our podcast today.
I appreciate it. It was really a joy and a pleasure. Thank you, Brad.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Create the Movement podcast. Visit us at createthemovement.com to discover how we can help you create a movement.